The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Tes. In our previous lecture for Daf Samach Tes, we discussed the dispute between the Rambam and the Arzarua about whether a katan, a minor, who commits a civil offense, hezek, tort, gneva, theft, is obligated to compensate his victim when he grows up. The Mishnah Bava Kamma says that a katan is pigiyasa ra, that the victim of a katan cannot sue him for damages at least while he's a katan. However, the Arzarua says that's only while he's a katan. Once he grows up, once he becomes a gadol, he is then obligated to compensate the victim for the offense that he committed even while he was a katan. Rambam disagrees. Rambam says, insofar as the offense was committed while he's a katan, he's not a bar das, he's not a bar chiyuva, there is no liability engendered whatsoever, and he has no obligation, even when he grows up. We noted that Arzarua's primary argument, one of his two arguments, is from a brief account in Bava Kamma, as explained by Rashi. The Gemara is discussing the tort of burning a shtar, burning someone else's shtar, and thereby causing him a loss. The Gemara says, Hava Uvda, there was an episode of burning a shtar, and Raphram forced Ravashi, Kafye Raphram LeRavashi, and he made him pay. Rashi says in Bava Kamma that Ravashi was the one who burned the shtar, and Raphram compelled him to pay, Kafye. Rashi explains that this occurred while Ravashi was a katan. The Achronim generally understand this is because it's inconceivable that Ravashi, when he was a mature adult, he was a great Amora, great Talmud Chacham, would have done things like burn people's shtaras. Happened while Bialduso, Rashi says, which many Achronim understand means literally that he was a katan. Nevertheless, Raphram eventually made him pay. So the Arzarua says, you see from here, that a katan is held liable when he grows up for crimes, for civil offenses he commits while he is a katan. Not criminally liable, but civilly liable. We discussed various approaches of the Achronim to refute this argument. In this lecture, we discussed two more approaches of the Achronim, both of which have important implications for halacha. The first is the Taz. The Taz says, Ravashi did indeed burn the shtar while he was a minor, and Raphram made him pay, but he was not chayav min hadin. He was not actually chayav in an absolute binding way. Rather, he says, Raphram was kafye, Raphram made him pay lefnim ishuras hadin, and the Taz says, it was kafye bedvarim, he used moral suasion, he persuaded him to pay, but it was only lefnim ishuras hadin, and it was kafye bedvarim. And as a precedent or a model for this, the Taz mentions a famous Gemara in Ha'umna. Now, the truth is, the Taz's explanation of this Gemara is far from being obvious, and actually it is the subject of a major dispute in the Poskim. Let's consider the Gemara the Taz brings, and then discuss how the Taz understands it. Gemara Mavmetzia, the end of Perek Ha'umnim, the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, or Bar Huna. He had workers, the workers broke a barrel of wine they were carrying for him. So he seized their clothing as a mashkan, as payment for the damage. They had been negligent, they had broken the barrel in such a way that they were chayav al-pidin, so he seized their clothing in payment or security for the obligation he felt they had to him. So they went to Rav. Rav said, don't charge them, hand them back their glima, hand them back their garment. He asked, Dina hachi, is that really the din? He told him, yes, in. Leman telech b'derech tovim. He quoted him a pasuk in Mishlei that it's important to walk in the path of the good. Fine, so he accepted Yav Legli Mayu, gave them back their garments. Now they turned around, they told him, they were still in front of Rav, they went back to Rav, they said, we're poor, we were counting on our wages, our compensation, to put bread on our table, we work the whole day, we're hungry, we have nothing to eat. So Rav told Rav Abrachana, he told him, pay them their wages. Again, he said, Dina Hachi, it's bad enough, I'm not charging them for the broken barrel, should I pay them? Is that the din? Again, he said, in. This time he quoted the Seifa, the end of the same Pasuk in Mishlei, V'archa Tzadikim Tishmar, you shall keep the paths of the righteous. So there's a lot of discussion in the Poskim. What was the question? Dina Hachi, what was the answer in? Clearly this was some kind of Lefim Ashura Sadin. So what was the Shach Vatariya? What was the question and answer of Dina Hachi? Al-Kalpanim, the Taz, quotes this Gemara and says, you see, sometimes even when Al-Pidin, clearly there's no Chiyuv. They should have paid him Al-Pidin. Instead, Rav made him pay them. Nevertheless, sometimes that's what the Dayan does, and that's called, that Gemara doesn't use the word kafye, but The Taz understands that kind of attitude by the Dayan can be called kafye. That's what Raphim did to Ravashi. He said, look, I know you burned the shtar when you were a katan. Nevertheless, you really need to pay. Like the Marsha Dinahachi, and he said, yes. He said, you really need to pay, and he therefore made him pay by convincing him that that was the right thing to do. And so the Taz apparently understands that that Gemara that said Dinahachi, that can be called Kfiyah. The Taz is certainly only Kfiyah Bidvarim, but that's called Kfiyah. And the truth is, that's actually the subject of considerable dispute in the Poskim. The Mordechai, there are several of the German Ashkenazic Rishonim who maintain that Lefnei Mishurat HaDin in general, there is a halacha of Kfiyah. Beis Din can be kofeh, can compel somebody to act Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. It's the subject of a major dispute, both Shittos are brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Mordechai is one of the opinions who says that Beis Din can impose Kfiyah, compulsion for Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. One of the Mordechai's rayas is that we find, he says, in the Gemara in Ha'omnim, it says, Kivan de Chazinan de Habakaifi Luhu. Hachi, Kedisus HaPerek Ha'omnim. We find in Perek Ha'omnim that they were kofeh to do Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. Therefore, the Mordechai says, we see that Beis Din can be kofeh somebody to do Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. Beis Yosef does not understand the Mordechai. Beis Yosef says it's pashut that the dissenting view, the Rush, many Ruchim, are correct, that there is no kfiyah, there is no compulsion on Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. And Beis Yosef says, Tmihani, I don't understand this Mordechai. Tmihani, he says, where did he see anything about kfiyah in this Gemara? Mehanachub did the Maisi Raya Minayel and Iskabraham kfiyah. Gemara doesn't say kfiyah, he told him, you should pay. Doesn't use the word kfiyah, so how can the Mordechai say that in these stories we find kfiyah for Lefnei Mishurat HaDin? The Bach disagrees. The Bach is machriya strongly. He sides with the view that there is a halacha of kfiyah for Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. The Bach says, read that Gemara in Ha'omnim. It says it's clear that Rav was actually kofa. Im lokein, what do you mean dinahachi? How can you say dinahachi if you're not going to be kofa? Dinahachi means it's a din, and it means it has all the consequences of din, that we're going to force you to do it if you don't cooperate. That's called kfiyah. He mentions the Beis Yosef says, you don't find kfiyah in the Gemara. He says the Beis Yosef is wrong. That Gemara clearly involves kfiyah. The Bach concludes with a ringing endorsement to this view. V'chein nagim b'chal batei din b'Yisrael. This is the custom in Jewish batei din, that they force at least people who are usher, at least people who are rich and can afford it, they're kofeh for him to do the right thing, even though it's not the din. Maybe even the dissenting view only says we're not kofeh when he's not an usher, when he can't afford it. Puchazim mayama dabar. Bach says we are kofeh, and the Gemara that says dina hachi clearly implies kfiyah. Bach doesn't say explicitly what kind of kfiyah he's talking about, but the implication is real kfiyah, based in compelling, using any means of compulsion at their disposal. As you mentioned, it's a tremendous machlokas, Rishonim and Achronim, whether we are or are not kofeh on Lefnei Mishurat HaDin. Achronim split also, going down throughout the generations. The Urim Betumim, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, is one of the Achronim who adopt a compromised position. He says, yes, it is correct to say there is kfiyah, but not the full-blown kfiyah of actual physical compulsion. Kfiyah here means moral suasion. L'chein Nerabar, he says, all the rayas of the Mordechai, all the Mordechai's various arguments, including this one from the Gemara in Ha'omnim, where he told him Dina Hachi, and the Mordechai says that's kfiyah, the Bach says that's kfiyah. That just means that we tell him chayev, we tell him you must pay. We make it unequivocal that he has to pay. And that's called kfiyah. That's called kfiyah b'mili. We tell him, we don't mince words. We tell him chayev atalasos kein, you are obligated to do this. We tell him if you don't do this, im'ein chashamea, if you don't listen to us, ata avarian, you are an avaria and you're a sinner if you don't do this. But that's the extent of the kfiyah. Lo nachafos b'shotim, we don't use rods, meaning we don't use physical compulsion. We don't use nida, we don't put him in cherim. And maybe everyone agrees to that, maybe even the dissenting view only meant to say, the Rush only meant to say that we don't use physical compulsion, but we do use moral suasion, we do use words and persuasion to try to convince him that's the right thing to do. So returning to the Taz says, the Agamar and Bava Kama that says, Kafye Raphram L'Ravashi, Raphram used Kfiyah, compelled Ravashi, the Taz says, it's like what happened in Ha'omnim, where the Dayan, where Rav compelled Rav Avrachana to pay. So the Taz, like the Mordechai and the Bach, seem to understand that the Gemara is Kfiyah, unlike the Beis Yosef who says, L'Niskar Kfiyah, the Taz says that is Kfiyah, and the Taz says that's what happened in the Raphram Gemara too, that there was kfiyah, because even though there was no chiyuv, since he was a katan, when he did it, there was no chiyuv mikra din, nevertheless, there is lefnei mishurat din, and we can do kfiyah. However, the Taz, like the Tumim, says that the kfiyah here is only kfiyah bedvarim. It sounds like the Taz is learning that there would be no kfiyah with actual shutim or nidui. We wouldn't use actual physical compulsion, but the kviyas bedvarim, that much we're allowed to do. That's what Rav did in the story of the barrels in Homnim, and that's what Raphram did in the story in Bava Kamma. So the Taz's conclusion is that not like the Arzarua, like the Rambam, like the consensus of all poskim, that a katan who commits a civil offense while he's a katan cannot be compelled when he grows up to compensate his victim, but he cannot be compelled. That not. But he does have a moral obligation, of Mishur Sadin, to pay. And the Dayan can be kafye, the Dayan can use words to persuade him that you really need to do it. He doesn't say we can call him an avarian necessarily, but he says we can call that kviya. We can call it kviya to tell the person who's now an adult, you know, you did this when you were a katan, you really should be doing this, you really should be compensating the victim for what you did when you were a katan. Now the Bach has a somewhat similar approach to the Gemara. The Bach says, he brings a curious Rambam. The Rambam says, in general, regarding chinuch, he says, Beistin's job of chinuch, Beistin should be makas, lahakos esektanim, Beistin should use corporal punishment against children, kfikach hakatan, as much as the katan can tolerate. Alagneva, if the katan steals, he's not obligated to pay mikra din because he's a katan. Beistin should discipline him, should chastise him, should strike him in order that he should not become accustomed to steal. And chenim iziku sharnizak and other types of civil offenses, torts that he commits, and so on. That's the right and the duty of the Beistin. Now the Magid Mishnah, the Poskim points out, we don't actually know where the Rambam got this from. Not any Gemara that actually says this. The Bach says he got it from this story of Raphram. The Bach suggests, again, the halacha is like the Rambam, not like the Arzarua, there is no actual direct civil liability for a civil offense committed while a katan, while a minor. However, he says, based on this Rambam, it is Beistin's job to be makas a katanim, to discipline them so they shouldn't do it again. So the Bach says that what happened in this story was, Ravashi had done this damage, this tort, had burned somebody's shtar while he was a katan, so he cannot be made to pay. However, he was going to be struck. The Beistin was going to be kofa him. Raphram said, you need to be disciplined. You have to be beaten, so you should learn that this is not the way we behave. We don't damage other people's property. Now, Ravashi wasn't particularly interested. I don't know if he was called Ravashi then. He was still a minor. Wasn't particularly interested in being beaten. So he didn't want to be so veldemachus. So he offered to pay. We're not going to discipline him, the Bach understands, as long as he's willing to pay. So we weren't actually being kofim directly to pay, because he has no technical civil obligation to pay, but we will chastise him b'shas ma'isa, we'll impose punitive discipline, corporal punishment, as a disincentive on doing this kind of thing again. And if the victim decides he would rather pay than suffer the beating, that's his right, that's his prerogative. So when the Gemara says, kafye Raphael or Ravashi to pay, doesn't mean directly compel him to pay, it means he threatened to impose physical discipline, or Ravashi chose to pay to avoid these types of sanctions. And the Bach says, that's the makar for the Rambam. How did the Rambam know that it's Beistin's job to physically chastise minors who commit civil offenses? He knew it from this Gemara. The Gemara says, kafye Raphael. The Rambam understood from other sources that there's certainly no civil liability for the katan to pay. The Rambam understood, that's how we got his din, that it's the Beistin's job to physically chastise youthful offenders, even when they're below their majority, when they're still minors, to make sure they don't get into the habit of causing harm. The Bach in a tshuva actually applies this to a case he was dealing with. There was a terrible tragedy. There were young men celebrating at a party, and they were toasting each other, and one of them threw a glass, which was European custom. When you toast, you throw a glass at the wall. The glass shattered and damaged somebody's eye, cost him an eye. So the question was whether that person, that mazik, was chayav. So the Bach says absolutely he is. The Bach makes numerous arguments that he is and shoots down various arguments that he's not. One of the arguments that he would have been exempt is because he was a shikr, shikrusa shalot. He was so drunk that he was not in command of his insanity defense, not in command of his faculties. So the Bach says he's still chayav. He shouldn't have gotten so drunk. That's his responsibility. One of the arguments the Bach makes in the course of his analysis is that even if we're going to argue that someone who is shikr kishakrusa shalot is like a shota and is not chayef what he did, says the Bach, and even if we go with the Rambam, that meikra din, if you stop becoming, if you become sane again, your shota condition is cured, or you grow up from being a katan, even if we accept the Rambam shita, there is no actual civil liability for what you did while you were a shota, while you were a katan, not like the Arzarua. Nevertheless, the Arzarua doesn't actually discuss shota, but the Bach compares it to katan. He says, well, even though we pass like the Rambam, there is no civil liability for an injury that a katan committed even when he grows up. Nevertheless, the Bach says, we do have to impose discipline. We do have to impose corporal punishment. So people should learn that this kind of behavior is not acceptable, says the Bach. So even if we accept the arguments of this tortfeasor, of this drunken fellow who caused somebody else's eye by throwing a glass, nevertheless, the Bach says, we'll go to him and we'll tell him, just like Raphim told Ravashi, you are hereby subject to corporal punishment, chastisement for what you did. We're going to beat you up. And if he says, look, you know, I don't want to be beaten up, I'll pay, fine, so we'll accept that. And just like the Gemara said, Kafi Raphim LeRavashi, it means he threatened him with corporal punishment, and Ravashi chose to pay to avoid that. So too, the Bach says, even if we accept all his other arguments, which we don't, the Bach says, but even if we would, still we would tell him that we are going to have to beat you to teach you a lesson. And if he chooses to pay, that's his prerogative. We'll take the money and give it to the victim.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.